Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I was just listening to the ad on the Call of the Cosmos, and it is all it is cracked up to be. It is one of the most stunning... it's a kaleidoscope of beauty for the eyes, and you get a sense as you watch this film of the glory and the grandeur of God. I just took a little walk outside, and I was looking at the sky. It was painted, as it were, in the most beautiful way, and as I was looking at the sky, I was thinking about the goodness, the grandeur, and also the grace of God. I was particularly thinking about the grace of God in my own life. As many of you know, I was diagnosed with stage 4 mantle cell lymphoma about 20 months ago, April 15th, 2017. And a year ago, after going through chemotherapy, a year ago in November, I was scheduled to have a bone marrow transplant. But they weren't able to harvest enough stem cells, and as a result, that was aborted. And we really didn't know where we were going to go to from there. By God's grace, I got led into a clinical trial, and I've been going through that clinical trial since February of this year. And just a few hours ago, the doctor read my PET scan and my blood work. And then a word came out of his mouth that I did not think I would ever hear. And that was the word remission. The doctor told me that I was now officially in remission. Now, I've been feeling good the whole time, so I kind of thought I must be in remission, but the previous PET scans and CT scans showed tumors. This one showed that I was in remission. So I am obviously deeply grateful, and I am not at all surprised that a year after the bone marrow transplant was aborted, I am now, by God's grace, in remission. And so I want to use something that happened to me over the last year, just after the bone marrow transplant was aborted. And this was a very unusual event, because this was the first time in the history of the apheresis unit at the Carolina Medical Center that they weren't able to harvest enough stem cells from an individual that needed a bone marrow transplant. So I was in a unique situation, got closing the door on something, and I didn't really know what to make of all of that. And I remember getting up in the middle of the night and opening my Bible, and I don't play Bible roulette, but I was thinking about reading Psalm 119, but instead my eyes first fell upon Psalm 118. And as I looked at that page, the words just jumped out of me, at me, and those words are these words: I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastised me severely, but he has not given me over to death. And I memorized that passage in about four or five different translations before I went back to bed that night. Well, today, again, I am just grateful to God that I am in remission. And the reason I'm bringing it up on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and I'm going to do a Facebook Live on this, I think tomorrow, the reason I do that is because I am grateful to the many people who have been praying for me during this journey, and this is God's answer at this point. to your prayers. And again, I'm deeply grateful to the Lord and to God's people for remembering me before the throne of grace. Well, a lot of you hanging on already. Let's go to the phone lines. Dr. Rex in Wilmar, Minnesota. Hi, Rex.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Sounds like it.
Your question.
Oh, okay. I have a friend that I've known for like 35 years who's been involved in paganism, Native American. She's into the crystals, the palm reading, the astrology. Her daughter sees dead people, or she says it's dead people, and she's been being abducted by reptilians since she was a child. And I shared the gospel with her, she received Christ, but she said, well, I thank that Jesus has saved me from my sins and everything. And I tried to, she said she never experienced such great peace, and I tried to get her some kind of Christian fellowship, but she refused to go to any, to a church. She refused to meet one-on-one with any Christian. And then she just did a turn back and went so far as saying she wanted to throw away the Bible I gave her and a book I gave her, and said it was shallow, and I don't really know.
What's she into?
She's been in the paganism, into the Native American.
Oh, yes.
And the crystals.
Yeah.
Palm reading, astrology.
Yeah.
And reptilians.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple interesting things in terms of this conversation. The first thing I would say is that when someone has a transaction with God, as opposed to beginning a transformational life, there ought to be an immediate red flag, meaning that Christians are not born individually. They're born into, as individuals, a body of which Christ is the head. And so when you're baptized and you receive the Holy Spirit, you're not baptized as a rugged individualist, but rather you're baptized within a community of faith. And that community of faith is the cauldron, in a wonderful sense, in which you receive the graces whereby you can be transformed. You can become, as the church has always pronounced, a God by grace. Never God as God is in his essence, but you can receive the graces that are transformational, that take you from glory to glory. But that only happens within the context of the body of Christ. So someone that simply has a transaction leaves themselves open for all kinds of other foibles that can be foisted upon them by the evil one. And in this case, it sounds like neo-paganism has conquered her heart, which is, of course, an earth-centered religion. And it's really interesting that this has become so popular in our epoch of time. There's been dramatic growth as teenagers in particular reject what they perceive to be Christian homophobia or insensitivity to the environment around them. And so they think, well, they have this stereotypical idea of what Christianity is, let's buy into something else. And so what they buy into is this Wicca or the craft or the old religion, which is an idea that everything in reality is actually divine. It's a distinctly feminist form of neo-paganism. And they often consider the supreme manifestation of deity to be this nature goddess, as they call her, the triple goddess of the moon. In essence, what they're doing is they're worshiping creation rather than the creator, and holding that moral and religious truths are ultimately relative. And so they use all of these tools to manipulate reality in concert with their Wiccan will and with what they call the Wiccan reed, which is essentially, if it harms none, well, just do whatever you want to do. And in the process of manipulating reality, they're using spell books and chalices and sensors and cords and crystals and many of the things that you mentioned. What is the antidote? Well, it is not only to share the gospel, but to do so in such a way that they recognize that the gospel is not like a magic coin, but rather it's about a transformational relationship in which you really can experience divinity. But that divinity is a divinity that comes wholly within the context of becoming a God by grace. You never become the fourth member of the Trinity, but you're swept into the fellowship of the Holy Trinity, and that's precisely what we're designed for. So rather than communicating a transactional gospel, you communicate a transformational gospel. Coming up to station break, we'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, an ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org.
You have to see it to believe it. The breathtaking new film, The Call of the Cosmos, takes you to the edge of the observable universe. Watching the universe unfold before your eyes will evoke a sense of wonder and leave you convinced that a creator is responsible for the exquisite fine-tuning of the cosmos. The Call of the Cosmos, what the universe reveals about God, provides incontestable evidence of a designer. If you're already a believer, watching this film will affirm your faith in the Alpha and Omega, while also offering an overwhelming evangelistic opportunity to convince the skeptic in your life that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. To receive your copy of The Call of the Cosmos on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcast. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day from John Stott. He was a greatly renowned and extraordinarily influential evangelical leader. I've had him on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He went home to be with the Lord in 2011. Before he died, he said, and I quote, "We are not only committed to Christ, we are also committed to the body of Christ. I trust that none of my readers is that grotesque anomaly, an unchurched Christian. The New Testament knows nothing of such a person, for the church lies at the very center of the eternal purpose of God. It is not a divine afterthought. It is not an accident of history. On the contrary, the church is God's very community." And if you want to get a sense of what John Stott is talking about here, read Revelation chapter 21. It has to do with the church, which is the body of Christ. It is the bride of the Lamb. Christ is preparing his bride, the full complement of God's people that will step over the Jordan into a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. And the picture of that new Jerusalem is a picture of the body of Christ, complete, perfected. The analogy is breathtaking. I've taken the time to memorize it. It is something that stirs my heart. It'll stir yours as well. And again, the admonition from John Stott is that a grotesque anomaly is an unchurched Christian. There is no such thing. In the Christian walk, you receive the graces within the context of the church, whereby you can live not by might, nor by power, but by his Spirit. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Steve in North Carolina, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Doing well, thank you.
So my question is this. I've been greatly desiring, full-time or maybe part-time ministry. A couple things have been kind of seeming to line up in a way to where that might be a possibility. I do believe I was called to this formal education that I started about 2.5 years ago, and I'm nearing a completion in May. However, I remember the feeling, I guess is the best way I can put it, when I got saved, the call to salvation, the need for salvation. And I also remember when I was called to preach and how I didn't listen to that call for a little while, and then it came back more fervently. However, as far as ministry, most of my classes and whatnot, I have aimed towards youth ministry and things like that, and I've taught Sunday school classes, and I enjoy it and I love it, but I haven't experienced a feeling such as when I was called to salvation or called to preach. So I guess I'm a little concerned about that. And then a lot of the pastors that, well, not only my pastor, but some of the pastors I know, they've been pastors for 25, 30 years. So they might not quite understand, the feeling I'm feeling.
Yeah, well, I think what's really important is to recognize that just as I quoted from John Stott, everything happens within the spiritual gymnasium, within the body of Christ. That is where you are recognized in terms of your calling. It's never on an individualistic basis, but your call is confirmed within the body of Christ, because ultimately become an organ of the body of Christ. And, you know, the Bible's very, very clear. Let not many of you become teachers, because with teaching there is a greater condemnation or a greater judgment. And so that call has to be confirmed within the body of Christ, as opposed to a call that's individualistic. Now, obviously, God does move through people and circumstances, and you have studied to show yourself approved. You're finishing your education. But nonetheless, I would make certain that the call comes from within the body of Christ, that your call is recognized by the body of Christ.
Oh, like other members talking to me about it and things like that?
Well, it really depends on the ecclesiology of the church, but you know, in our church, we would certainly want to make certain that our spiritual father in the church would see that calling and confirm that calling as well.
Oh, I see. Okay, I might have missed that.
Well, thanks for your call. And may God...
Hey, I do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, may God richly use you for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom. Jonathan next in Dallas, Texas. Hi, Jonathan.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
The reason I was calling is because, like, on Isaiah verse, 66:17, it says that we should not eat from the pig, the abomination, and the mouse. And recently, the university is doing exactly that. Like, they're mixing the mouse DNA with the pig and the bacteria to be processed. So, like, we shouldn't eat the swine, the pig?
Well, no. I mean, I think what the Bible makes very, very clear, there are Old Testament laws, and those Old Testament laws are given within the context of a theocratic kingdom. Those laws are given in such a way that you are able to discern the difference between light and darkness, that which coheres with the kingdom of God and that which, on the other hand, coheres with the kingdom of the enemy or Satan. And those laws were, again, as I was talking about the first segment of this broadcast, they were laws that were like types and shadows pointing forward to a fulfillment. In Mark chapter 7, we see that fulfillment is found in Jesus Christ. And therefore, Jesus Christ himself says, it is not that which goes into the mouth of a person that defiles him. Because whatever you eat goes in through your mouth and out through your body, but it's a disposition of the heart that ultimately determines whether you're clean or you're not clean. So again, Jesus says, don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? Because it doesn't go into his heart, but it goes into his stomach and then out of his body. And then, of course, Mark says that in saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. So the point here of our Lord is that food is not the source of moral defilement, but rather moral defilement comes from the heart. And this was for the disciples a principle that explains why Gentile Christians need not observe traditional Jewish dietary scruples. The symbol of ceremonial legalities was fulfilled in the substance of the master teacher, Jesus Christ.
Okay. And can I ask another question?
Quickly, yes.
Like in Revelation, I don't remember what verse, and it says that where if we keep the Sabbath day, like pray the Lord that the rapture, or I mean the tribulation won't come on a Sabbath day, or, you know, those who keep it holy will be in the mountain of God.
Yeah, And I have explained this in a number of different places, including the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, but here's sort of the short version of that because we have very little time before we're off the air today. And that is that the Sabbath was a way of celebrating something. It was celebrating God's prowess in creation, and then it was the Exodus out of Egypt. And ultimately, it was a way of celebrating that the rest we have ultimately as the antitype, going back to what we were talking about earlier, is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's why we worship on the first day of the week, as opposed to worshiping on the last day of the week. But again, some Christians are denouncing Sunday worship as the end time mark of the beast, but it is because of a misreading of the book of Revelation as opposed to reading the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. I'd like to say more, but I have to leave it at that for today. Thank you so much for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and for truth. Only from the perspective of eternity will you fully know how your giving and your prayers are being used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Did you know that with each passing year, it's easier to find atheists in university philosophy departments than in physics departments? The reason is that physicists are increasingly unable to explain away the unfathomable intelligence that is becoming evident as science unfolds the exquisite fine-tuning of the universe. But atheist philosophers, often unburdened by the discoveries of science, are more inclined to dismiss discoveries that fail to fit a worldview allowing them to live as masters of the universe. The stunning film The Call of the Cosmos, What the Universe Reveals About God, provides incontestable evidence of a supernatural designer, and it's time that atheists and agnostics take notice. To receive your copy of The Call of the Cosmos on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.